Again, it's good to see everyone out this evening. We do have those that we need to continue to pray for. Those are our number that are needing our thoughts and prayers at this time. Tonight, what I'd like to do is, just for a few minutes, I'd like to talk about the subject of trust. I want to draw your attention over to the Old Testament, as we're going to begin there this evening, looking at the 40th Psalm. And Psalm 40, we want to consider verse 4 and begin there with our lesson this evening. Psalm 40, verse 4, if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles there. Psalm 40, verse 4. Look at what we read here about trust as we begin off thinking about this tonight. Where it says here, "Blessed is a man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." So again, we want to consider looking at this tonight and continuing to think about trust, because as a child growing up, we place our trust probably in older family members, teachers, parents, mentors. But so many times today, we see that bond of trust being broken. It's harder to show and place trust in individuals. We could look to many different facets, whether it would be media or trying to put trust sometimes in our leaders today. Because sometimes we see where individuals have proven that they've not been trusted and people have been burned on it. But a strong amount of trust is needed today, especially when we talk about our service to God. We talk about our life with God. We, in fact, need God in our life. Paul spoke about this. If you go back over to the book of Philippians with me, and in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, he points out how we need to be able to have our trust in God, place our trust in God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, where it says, "And my God," as he's coming to the close of this, he says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." God can and will supply our needs in this life. The question is, do we place trust in it? Are we willing to place our trust in God? Because, again, there's a lot of people that will question that very thing today. People want to be able to, can I trust in God? And they'll question all these different things. And we want to talk about that just for a few moments tonight. And first of all, I want to look at it in a two-way street with this. We talk about trust and being trusted. Excuse me. The first question we want to ask is, can we trust God? Because God, as we look, has promised many things and has always delivered out on His promises that He has made to us. We could look, for instance, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. If you go there, to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we want to look at the first part of this verse, but we'll read the entire part, but focusing on the first part of this verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 9, where he says here, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We look at this verse, we may point out that God is not slack when He makes a promise. He keeps His word when He makes a promise. As we look at this and look in so many different examples, we need to put trust. We trust that when God makes a promise, He keeps it. We can go over to Titus and point out how in the beginning we can be able to look and how God does not lie. And when we think about being able to trust in God, trust in His promises, we could look at many different examples. And one in particular that we have access to in looking at the first few books of the Old Testament is there in Genesis all the way into Joshua, where we point out the children of Israel and how they had a little bit of problem trusting God, but God promised in the beginning to Abraham, "I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you this land." Speaking of the land of Israel, "I'm going to give you this land that you and your descendants may dwell in. And we see the struggle there from Genesis chapter 12 all the way into Joshua, the end of Joshua, where we see where it's finally carried out into plan. We're talking hundreds of years in the making with all these things. But God delivered out on His promise to Israel. He made it a promise to Abraham and He kept it. We look at that same scenario continuing throughout the Old Testament. And then we're reminded to be able to put our trust in God in the New Testament. If we think about this, let's just look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We've got to trust in God. We've got to trust in His Son. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and considering verse 6, where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We got to trust in God, trust in His Son. Can we trust? You know, people will question today this very thing. Is Jesus the Son of God? Can we trust that Jesus is the Son of God? As we look at this and consider, can we trust that He will reward? We look here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We look at how it's impossible without faith to please God. It's impossible without trust to please God. Because again, we must believe that God, that He is, and that He also rewards. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, He has made it possible and made a reward possible that we can have eternal life with Him. Because we think about it, if God can be able to offer different things, we will be blessed. We can be blessed. I'd like to go back with me to the book of Psalm again, this time in Psalm 84. In Psalm 84, let's consider verse 11 and verse 12. Psalm 84, verse 11 and verse 12. Psalm 84, verse 11 and verse 12. We read here, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You. Again, we see God as a protector. God is willing to offer His protection. And again, as we look at verse 12, David goes on to say, blessed is the man who trusts in You, Lord. Blessed is the man who can trust in You. And we can see that blessings come from this. As we continue to think about this eternal home, this eternal reward, we can be blessed if we will put our trust in God. You know, as we look at this, you know, there are some other questions. We ask the question of, can we trust God? God is also pointing out that He will take vengeance on those who do not know Him, on those who do not obey Him. Over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, we're reminded of this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. You know, a lot of times in life when we have someone that might do something, we always want something. No, I'm not, should rephrase. There are many people that want to take revenge, want to get back at someone. But as we look at this, here's what Paul had to say. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I know that there have been times where people have probably crossed us and done some things to us. And, you know, the easy route is to try to get vengeance, try to get back at someone. We, as we look at our society today, it's okay if someone does something, how much you get back at them the same amount and then another fold worth. But God has pointed out to us as we think about this that if you're not obedient, if people are disobeying God, God says, I will take vengeance and I will have the final say in the end. If we trust that God will reward us for our efforts, as we read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, we can also trust the other side, that He will punish those who do not diligently seek Him, who do not obey Him, who do not put their trust in Him. God will take vengeance on those who are not willing to obey Him. If God can offer eternal reward, God can offer eternal punishment. We see both sides of it in the Bible. Again, we could look, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, about that example with the children of Israel. We can see that that first generation that left the land of Egypt, did they get to enter into that promised land? No. Moses included with that did not get to enter that promised land. There's punishment on both. And again, we look and see in the New Testament, under the New Law, we see that God has said, I will punish those who disobey me in the end. I will reward those who obey me in the end. And we can be able to trust on both sides. This trust, again, as we talk about, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 6 about what trust is, and that's faith. We can be able to put our faith in God. If we trust God, then we can follow and will follow by faith. Over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. We just consider a verse over there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, verse 38, where we read here, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Again, the just will live by faith. They will trust in God. But if anyone wants to look back, if anyone wants to go back and not trust in me and go back to their old ways, my soul has no pleasure in him. Then we talk about faith and how it's built by and through the Word of God. Hebrews 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We're talking about how we build our faith today, how we apply our faith today. It is through God's Word. That's the beginning point of our relationship with God. It is through faith, and through His Word is where we establish it. Can we trust God? Again, we think about it. Consider some examples. If you're there in Hebrews, look at chapter 11 again. I'm not going to read the verses here, but let's just mention some of these different examples. You got Abel, a man who offered his sacrifices to God, and God rewarded him, God blessed him, and we see where he was remembered here in Hebrews 11 by his faith in God, by his trust in God. How about Enoch, a man who did not see death? Man that was faithful to God. Man that trusted in God. As we read, we have a few verses mentioning of Enoch. He didn't live as long as many of the patriarchs there in Genesis. He lived only in the 300s. But yet he was a man that God found as faithful, a man who trusted in God, and he did not see death. How about Noah? Noah there in chapter 6 of Genesis, in chapter 7, chapter 8, we see the life of Noah, where he was a man who spent 100 years in building an ark according to what God had said. How about Abraham? Abraham was a man who followed God, who left his homeland by faith. He trusted in God, not knowing where he was going, but trusting God that he would be able to go and be led to the place where he was promised. How about Sarah? So far in life, and yet she was willing and able to have Isaac, the son of promise, at such a late age compared to what childbirthing ages were. How about Moses? I know we mentioned Moses being one that didn't get through any problems, but Moses was remembered by his faith in trusting in God and leading the people out of it and leaving the riches of Egypt to be able to go with the children of Israel out of Egypt. We look at all these different examples of faith in God. We can trust in God. He will provide and take care of us, as He did with all these other individuals. But let's look at the other side of it. Can we trust God? I think we can be able to look at Scripture. We can say yes. We can answer that question. Absolutely yes. But can God trust us? We need trust in God. We need trust in His will. We need to trust in Him. But can God trust us to be able to obey Him, to seek Him, to find Him? We look over in Acts chapter 17, verse 27. Again, as Paul is there in Athens, and they have all these different altars, all these different places of worship for all the different foreign gods of the land. And they have the one to the unknown God, as we read in verse 23. Paul goes on to declare who the unknown God is. So we think trust is being this two-way street again. Can God trust enough to seek and follow Him? As we look at verse 27 of Acts 17. He says, so they should seek the Lord in the hope they might grope for Him, find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. So do we want God? If we answer yes to that, if we trust in God, we need to give our trust back to God for that eternal. Remember, God has promised an eternal reward for those who will seek Him. What we've got to do is we read Matthew 6, verse 33. We've got to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. Here's our first and foremost priority in life, is to seek Him. Because as we think on that judgment day, can God trust us? On that judgment day, we're going to give account for ourselves. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to give account of how we have lived our life, how we have either obeyed His will or not obeyed His will. Over in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. Just one of these verses to remind us of these events that are going to happen. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. It says here, so then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. We're all going to stand before God on that judgment day. Each and every one of us here in this community, here in this state, in the city, in the state, in this country, in the world, are all going to stand before God. And we each will give an account of ourselves. Can God trust us enough that we will understand the importance of our account? Of us giving our account? Can we see the great need to prepare for that life? Because it is our soul that's in jeopardy. Over in Mark chapter 8 and verse 37. Mark chapter 8. And verse 37. Mark chapter 8 and verse 37. We read here, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Is there anything that we will be willing to trade for our soul? I can remember, you know, there's different things, different cartoons and everything. I remember different shows, you know, they would ask this question of would you sell your soul? And I remember sometimes people would be willing to sell their soul for, you know, a pack of gum or a baseball card or something. Or, you know, people say, well, you know, you name an amount, whether it's $1, $100, $100,000, $100 million, $100 billion. Be the rich person, would you sell your soul? And there's some people that would say, yes, I have a price tag on it. It could be great. It could be an exorbitant amount of money, or it could be just the smallest thing. There are people that would be willing to trade that, to trade their soul for such a thing. But as we look here, if we are willing to exchange something for our soul, money or possessions or whatever, power, whatever you want, fill in the blank with. I would just mention monetary value, but there are other things in this life. If there's anything we're willing to exchange for our soul, we have a lack of trust in God. We have a lack of trust in God's will. As we think about this, there will be two paths that we will take. You know, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago in Matthew 7, verse 13, verse 14. You got to choose the broad way or you can choose the narrow way. The broad way leads to destruction. Many go by that way. The narrow way, few find that way, but it leads to life. We were talking about that a couple weeks ago. I had that middle line. You can't stand in the middle. There are two paths that are available. Can God, can God trust us to choose Him, to choose His way, or to choose the other way? A way that separates ourselves from Him. A way of untrustworthiness, or a way of proving that we can be trusted, which is our path. Can we trust in God? Can God trust that we will prove our faith? And will we follow His ways? I want to draw your attention back to the book of Psalm. If you'll go back to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, let's consider verse 97 down to verse 105. Psalm 119, we're going to begin with verse 97 and we'll look down to verse 105. We have access to God's Word that can lead us, that can guide us in a way that we can have that hope and promise of eternal life. Psalm 119, beginning verse 97, says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God has given His Word as our guide. It's a lamp for truth in the dangers and darkness of sin. As we look here, it gives more understanding than all the knowledge of man. You think about all the different philosophers, all the different people that have provided so much different knowledge. God's Word, His knowledge that He provides, leads us and guides us to eternal life. It gives more understanding than all of the smarts of man that we have. It needs to be our understanding at all times. The words of God, we see the benefits of it as David is mentioning here. I hate the false ways. I hate the ways that separate me from you. I love your word because it is a lamp to my feet. It is a light to my path. Can we be trusted that we will take God's word to heart and apply it to our life? Can we make these things possible? We need to be trusted enough to be counted in the end as worthy. And when I talk about being worthy, I talk about one being found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To have that hope. We've been bought, which we talked this morning, we've been bought with a price. And that hope of eternal life is on the line at the end. Over in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. We need to have our name found written in the Book of Life. In Revelation 21, we begin with verse 22 down to verse 27. Revelation 21, verse 22 down to verse 27. Revelation 21, beginning verse 22. "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination, or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God has provided a home in the end. Can we be trusted enough to have this as our everlasting home? If we answer yes, we've got to have our name found written in the Book of Life. If God can trust in us, and we will trust in His Word and in His will, we can have that hope of eternal life. We can be able to trust in God. The question is, can God trust us? Trust, as we think about this, is a very big issue. It's something that we need, but also sometimes we'll place in others as well as ourselves. But we need to trust God. We can be able to say, yes, we can trust in God. We can trust that God is our rewarder. He is our creator. He is our father. He is our provider. He is all those things to us and that much more. But we also must be counted as being trustworthy. Trusting in God, putting our faith in Him, obeying His will. Because in the end, we will give account for our action. Do we trust in it? I hope we do. We hope we take it all seriously as we always do. I hope as we get encouraged by this lesson that we continue to remain faithful to God. For those that are here that have obeyed God's will, I hope that we are encouraged to know that we need to be trusted by God. That God can count us as being trusted and we can be able to do His will. We can be able to obey His will. We know what we need to do and we will continue it. If you're not yet obeyed God tonight and you're ready to answer the invitation call, we want to encourage you now to make your life right with Him by having your sins washed in the waters of baptism. Brother George has selected the invitation call. If you want to go ahead and turn there now. If there's anyone that is subject to the invitation, we want to help you and the time is now to act. Do you trust in God? Can God trust in you? Ready to answer that invitation call tonight. We'll be glad to rejoice with you. We'll be glad to help you. If you need prayers of encouragement, prayers of forgiveness, we'll be glad to offer those prayers on your behalf also. Whatever the case may be, if you're subject to the invitation, let me know how we can assist you, how we can help you. Have a seat on the front. You can do it now. Walk together while we stand and while we sing.